Turn to the book of John, the Gospel of John in chapter 12. Chapter 12. All right. Look down at verse 23. We'll start reading there. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the strength and the clarity that it brings. We thank you for the comfort, the admonition, and the rebuke. Thank you, Lord, for giving it to us so we could have something we could rely on and trust. Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning to understand it a little bit better, to be able to apply it to our own hearts and lives. I pray, Lord, that your name and your name only might be honored and glorified here today. Lord, not only in these Sunday school classes, but also in the preaching hour to come. And this whole day, Lord, help us to honor you and magnify you and glorify you. I pray, Lord, that you would have your way in this Sunday school class here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Last Sunday, we were discussing a verse called over there in Corinthians, and basically we were talking a little bit about separation. We were talking about how to be a vessel unto honor, and the phrase that we had studied last week was, "If any man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor." And I kind of want to continue that theme a little bit today, and I want to talk about honor again. And I want to talk about it in a little bit different sense. In this passage right here, in John chapter 12 and verse 25, or actually verse 26 is the one that we're going to be concentrating on. It says here, "If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there also my servant be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor." And notice in the passage that we discussed last week that, it's a choice. You have the ability, you have the choice of whether you want to be a vessel unto honor. If any man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. And there's a lot of things in life that we don't have any choice over. There's nothing we can do about where we're born or how we look. There's nothing we can do about a whole lot of things. But whether or not you're going to be a vessel unto honor, you got a lot to do with that. In other words, if you're not a vessel unto honor, you can't blame God because you're not a vessel unto honor. He gives you the opportunity. There in the New Testament, he says, "If any man purge himself from these," and we talked about that last week. Well, here also is a choice that kind of goes along the lines, and it deals somewhat with the same thing. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And as I was looking through this, I thought, well, here's another good choice. A good choice would be to purge yourself from dishonorable vessels. A good choice would be to live a separated life. Here's another good choice. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. I want to talk a little bit about honor today. I want to talk a little bit about choice and about service and about what it means. It seems to me like we're really kind of losing, I'm talking just about society in general. We're losing this idea of service. Many people look at God and they view Jesus Christ only in the context of what Jesus can do for them. You know, when you talk about God and you talk about people praying, all the focus is on what Jesus can do for you. A lot of the popular preaching today is about how Jesus can fulfill your life, about how Jesus can get you to fulfill your potential, about how you can do the best that you can do, how you can have a good life. But service is not like that at all. Service comes from a completely different perspective than yourself. And That's why, I think it's really good to concentrate on this morning to kind of get us out of our little me syndrome and concentrate on what service really is all about. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And you think of service, and you think of someone who is doing something for somebody else. I'm serious. I really think we're losing touch with this. I get frustrated so much in public because it seems like it's getting harder and harder to be served. You ever had that problem? Go into a store and try to find somebody, you know? I was in Walmart the other day, and you would think that Walmart, of all places, would be the place where you could get served, because they have the happy, smiley faces, and they give this image like, we're here to serve you. And I asked a young lady, I said, hey, do you have such and such? And she goes, whatever's on the shelves. I said, well, what shelves? Well, over there. It's over there. I said, well, where over there, I remember a time I walked into Walmart and the person actually, no, it wasn't in Walmart, I'm sorry, it was in Home Depot. The person actually walked out of their department and told me, follow me, and took me over to the spot and said, right here, this is what you're looking for. You know what I think? I think that's service. I like that. It made me feel good. It didn't make me feel good like I was wasting that girl's time, sorry to bother you. I didn't mean to bother you from leaning up against that shelf. I know it's real, real important for you to be holding that thing up all day. But obviously she didn't get the idea of service. And maybe $6 an hour didn't inspire her to be a servant. I don't know, But it seems to me that that's become our society more and more. And service, it really is. Service is, it's just an important concept. Young people just entering the workforce, I'm going to tell you something. If you learn a little bit about service, you won't have to worry about promotions. You're not going to have to worry about raises. You're not going to have to worry about opportunities for advancement. If you could just learn to serve your employer, it would mean a tremendous deal. You just go into a job. That's all you have to do is serve. You don't have to be the brightest bulb in the whole thing. You don't have to be the smartest. You don't have to be the most eloquent. But if you go in and you clock in, as soon as that time ticket is clocked into that slot, you belong to that company for the time that you're clocked in. I'm telling you, it's going to make a big difference. Somebody is going to notice. But if you go in and you try to figure out all the ways you can do to get off on the clock and try to waste time and to try to drag the day out, I think a Christian should not be found standing around at work. I'm serious. I think if you're working at a warehouse and everybody else is standing around just kind of shooting the breeze, I think you ought to pick up a broom and go sweep something. Go reorganize something. Warehouses are busy places. They get disorganized. I think that you ought to get in. Now, if you're on a bona fide break, fine. But if you're at duty and you're on work, this doesn't apply to firemen. Go ahead and sit around, Fernando. We want you well rested and ready for that fire. So, but anybody else but a fireman, don't be found sitting around at work, Come on, get going. There's some things that you could be doing. There's some... Sorry about that. Yeah, I know. I caught you off guard. He probably just got off and is tired. Poor guy. Oh, he's going in. Good. Well, anyway, you get the idea, right? And whether you agree with it or not, it is very important. we need some service. I think this country would be better off if we learned how to serve. I think we would be a stronger country if we learned how to serve. I think our families would be stronger if children learned how to serve their parents. You know what children ought to do? They ought to serve their parents. A lot of times it's the other way around, Parents serve the children. They do everything for the child. And they clean up after the child. They follow after the child. They do this. That doesn't teach the child how to serve. It teaches the child how to be a beggar. It teaches the child that somebody else is going to do something for him. And then a child comes out of a pampered situation like that and gets out into the job force, and they're the ones sitting around, thinking that the customer is the one that's waiting on them, that the customer... No, it should be the other way around. You ought to take a child and you ought to teach him how to tie his own shoes, teach him how to do his own things, and to be responsible, to be a servant. Service is important. companies get the edge over other companies just simply by being able to provide service. Now, I say all that to say this, that if service is important, if any man serve me, that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, if any man serve me, he's turning the tables. He's turning it around. In this passage right now, he's not listing all the things that he is going to do for you. He's at first introducing the subject, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. I want you to think about it in the context, because if we expect good service, and for those of you that don't provide good service, you sure do expect it, don't you? Those of you that don't give service and you don't serve your fellow man and you don't serve your family and you're not a servant, but you go into a restaurant, you sure demand it, don't you? If that waiter passes you by and doesn't fill your iced tea, you're screaming. If your food is cold, you're screaming. And you expect good service. Every one of us expects good service. You would not go back into a restaurant where they constantly slight you and serve you bad food and never come and refill your iced tea. That place would go out of business after a while. Well, you know, if we expect that, if that's just one of the things that we expect from other human beings, how much more is it reasonable that God expects it out of us? Service. Just plain, good, solid, self-denying service. Is it unreasonable that God demands that of us? We talked about that somewhat last week. Look at 1 Corinthians in chapter 6 and verse 20. This is kind of emphasizing the same point, just coming from a little bit different perspective. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, who is the owner of the body and the spirit in this passage right here? Which are God's. Does that mean that your body is not yours? I mean, you claim on it. You bought that body? Really? You're the one who inherited the body? You're the one who created that body? There's like that bunch of scientists that wanted to challenge God, and they finally got the technology down, and they were going to have a man-building contest. And so they went, and they had this whole thing, and they were going to build a man, and they were going to show God how they could do it. And I just completely forgot the punchline, so forget it. But you know something? God does honor you. God does. Oh, never mind. It's not important. It was going to be a good illustration as how God owns you. All right, let's focus again. In your spirit and in your body, which are God's. That body is not yours to do whatever you want to with. And the context here, the context that we're speaking of, we're talking about fornication and about sleeping with prostitutes and sleeping with others that aren't your wife. You know, that's completely self-centered. Nobody goes to a prostitute because they really care about that prostitute and they really care about that prostitute's need. No, they don't. It's self-centered. It's completely self-absorbed and self-centered. And he says there in the end of verse 19, he says, you are not your own. You're not your own. Okay? God has some ownership over us. You know, I think it would be good to remind ourselves over that. God demands some things of us. God owns us, our body, our spirit. God claims ownership of the body. So, to me, it's reasonable if he says, serve me. Now, look at Matthew in chapter 23 in verse 8. Matthew chapter 23 in verse 8.